Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another therapy session on Life Success Radio. From the womb to the tomb, we hear your voices. Life Success Radio is creating our own future paradise to move you and I out of the pastime paradigm of slavery in America. I am Haleen the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, and today is the 21st day of November, 2017. Life Success Radio is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. Before we begin formally with what we're here for, we have prayer, so please join me. I'll say it in Arabic and English. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد إياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The translation of the Arabic to English, we seek refuge with God, Allah, from the curse of devil, Satan, the devil. With the name Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, God, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid and guidance we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion of life achievement is not wrath, and who go not astray in their service to you. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Life Success Radio we have interviews on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, and the 7 p.m. On the East Coast time, so 7 through 9, if we have a guest interview, or 7 through 8, but for sure every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, same time, same batch station, same discussion in terms of preparation, but different interviews. And so at Central, Eastern and Central time, while I'm in Texas, is 6 p.m. through 8, and in California, the West Coast, is 4 p.m. through 6 p.m. On Mondays, we have Seen the Moments as the title of the show, and the motto is Life's Real Wisdom Teachers. And on Tuesdays, we have EZ Generation, like the E and then a Z generation, and the slogan or motto is Smart Minds Making Waves to the Future. And on Wednesdays, we have Blessed to be Blessed, Miracle Warriors Living the Dream Without Excuse. Today, the topic is going to be the pros and cons of anger management when pursuing success. Now, I tell you, anger is something that is good and is bad. You have to have a level of pride, and sometimes having anger will bring that pride out. For example, if you play sports, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're in competitive battle, you have to have a little anger to get some gamesmanship on your competition. Now, if you don't have any anger and you kind of be playing really soft, they may call you a flower. If you're a man, that's not a good thing. Now, so what I'm saying is that anger is actually it's a part of your makeup. And so it's there for a reason. You just got to find a way how to use it properly. Now, I would say in relationship building, definitely you need to kind of slow your anger down a bit, because sometimes you say stuff to hurt people's feelings in relationship that you're attempting to build, whether it's a relationship with a girl or a teammate or a classmate or someone that you meet on the street. You need to learn to how to have discernment in determining which relationships that you really want to build. And in doing so, then you have to be friendly enough where people could feel comfortable with you. Otherwise, you are going to be perceived bully of the town. Now, you never want to have that reputation as a bully, because that means as a bully, you got to watch your own back. And I guarantee you this, that there's a lot of people that don't like bullies. And so bullies will certainly end up getting what's due to them, because they hurt people just because they're bullies. And so you don't want to develop yourself as an anger person, and you pursuing a goal of success, business relationships, where you're looking to form money-making opportunities for you and others that will depend on you. And attitude is important. So I would say one thing is that in relationship building, be very discerning as to when to, gauge up and gauge down your anger, some other things you learn too as well. So here I say this: I know in the Muslim holy book it says at least 3 times when it was asked of the Prophet, "What's the best thing to do in terms of a person had a little issue?" And the Prophet Muhammad says, "Don't get angry." And he asked him again another question. The Prophet said again, "Don't get angry." And then the man asked another question. He said, "Don't get angry," 3 times. Now, you have to understand, anger makes you really tunnel vision, and you like are a bull chasing this white cloth or this red cloth, and they set you up to run into a wall, knock yourself out. Same thing with anger. It makes you blind in blind rage. You don't need that. Not like that. So it clouds your rational thought, and when it clouds your rational thought, that means that you are acting irrational in your impulses. Now, I myself, you know, I know that things do happen. Family and friends and, you know, neighbors and the news media and other things kind of really challenge our level of, what you say, peace. So we have to stay in a state of peace in order to control the anger management. Now, just because I'm peaceful, like Muhammad Ali said, I'm peaceful, but I know how to get busy on your head. So don't get it twisted. You know, being peaceful is not necessarily weak. It's really the position of strength, because you as the leader, your employees or your family or people that you don't even know are looking at you, and they watch your temperament and see if you're short-fused or you have a long fuse or you don't give any impression at all. Now, I know this. You might have seen the Godfather movie, and I guess Don Corleone teaching his sons to be wise. He always took the position of being a good listener and not allowing emotion to come into his decision making, even when the guy wants to come in and sell all this heroin to through his system. The guy says, listen, that's, you know, it's not good for me. It's good for you. You make money with it. But for me, it's too much other negative fallout, so I really don't have any part to do with it. And he was being very kind and nice in his explanation. But Sonny says, Dad, there's a lot of money in there. And that was the trigger that almost got his father killed. See, his son was not being wise with his decision, and his father was being calm, even though I know he was, like, upset with the fact that these guys want to come in his territory and sell his drug. So that's just one lesson I would say. You have to definitely be rational in your thinking and be ahead of the curve so people don't twist you up and make you do something you don't want to do. Now, civil behavior will make you, let me say it like this, civil behavior in life situations will make your enemies your allies, or some people say your footstool. Now, I'm going to say allies in this case here. Now, so what I'm saying civilly, say there's you have a business partner, and you guys are having a discussion around some of the pressing things with your business, and sometimes it's around money, sometimes it's around equipment being stored properly, it's around maybe the responsibility of making sure that the vehicles get serviced on time and make sure that, for example, you don't party all the time with the company money, and you take this office as your, instead of your office, you use it as a bedroom where you're having girls or guys or, you know, come on over and partying and hanging out. That's your place of business. So, you know, you might have a partner that would say, listen, can you just, you know, tone it down a bit and maybe take your partying somewhere else, because you have a business to run. And so you might get mad at him for giving you an honest insight. And what he's trying to do, or she's trying to do, is to educate you that, you know, if we're going to make money, we got to have a business here where it's actually looking like a business with people, you know, that are either there for business or not hanging out. Because just hanging out would make people think that it's, from my opinion, now, it would make me think, as a former cop, that it was a dope deal, a dope dealer's business or something like that. We got people just kind of hanging out. That's a red flag, right? To say there's something illegal going on. So you got to be aware of that. Your perception that you give to people is very important, that you show them a level of competence as a business leader, as a social leader, and you want to show them a level of you might say, being ready to bite responsibility. because, again, when the pros and cons of anger management, if you don't know how to take on responsibility, and then you get mad at somebody else who does know how, and you feel that they're staging you up by doing something that you should have done, you were just short-sighted, and now you get mad at them. Let me give you another example here. This is really close to home. Okay, for me, I just had a sister of mine died this morning. Now, she was really sickly, and so she was actually had a she went to a coma, and no one knew she was in a coma in the house. And there was a couple friends over, but they didn't know what to do. So anyway, she spent hours in a coma, tried to revive her. Didn't happen. So she died this morning, about my time here in Texas, about say 1 o'clock ish in the a.m. So probably about 11 o'clock ish on the West Coast. Now this is the deal. I'm not perfect, so I was angry at my sister, and I didn't really, have a chance to let her know how I really felt about her before she left this physical life. I know that she very much loved me, and she actually, when I was in a homeless situation in San Francisco, my sister, she actually was arguing with her family and about going to find me, her brother, because no one was looking for me and she wanted to do it. So my sister and my brother, both from like different, well, my sister from a different mother, same father, my brother from a different father, same mother, they found each other, and they found me. And my sister, she really was very emotional about finding me because, I was like junior. That's what she called me, junior, And so I'm the head of the household, or head of the family, as we have that structure. Now, when I got mad at her because there were some things that happened, I won't go into detail now, but I got angry at her, and eventually, I left because of the situation. That she was with a guy that wasn't doing too right. He was a dope user. He didn't sell it. He's a user. So I was disgusted with her. So I got mad and left. I said I never would talk to her again. And so I haven't talked to her over 2 years, life. Okay. And now that I want to go talk to her, knowing that my life has changed, where I'm not in a homeless state. And I'm not in, a state of anger. And I want to let her know how much I love and appreciate her for bringing me there and letting me live to get my life back together. And now she's gone. So the point that I'm making is this. You want to control your anger and manage it when pursuing success. Now, in my pursuit of success, it's not about me. I have family responsibilities, so I have to do things for my family to prosper. Now, the beneficiaries of me will be my friends as well. The beneficiary of my efforts to be successful in whatever I do is to help the general public, especially young people, who themselves maybe come from dysfunctional families, just need a little bit of break up the line. That's all. Sometimes they never get a shot. So, my position is that I want to help the young people who've got ambition and just need a little help. Because I know, if I think about it, my journey of life has been somewhat that a lot. And in the last year, you really taught me a lot of things. See, your success, they say in Italiano, amici dell'amico, which means friends of the friends. Now, it's not a gangster a slogan. It's really a family, comment, like friends of the friends. Because you can have family and you're not friends, even though you're family, right? You can have strangers that are better than your family because they actually have a better understanding at a certain level. So So when you have amici dell'amico, it's a mutual greeting of how do we coexist as friends and help each other and share what we have, so we don't have to go out there and steal and beg or whatever. That kind of things happen when you're growing up, So I want to say this, that this show is brought to you by Reality Books. And Reality Books is the publisher of Dr. Booker T. Washington, or Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And it's a book that really has a historical insight and a futuristic plan for moving people from the slavery, or from the, what you call the being helpless people as grown, just our slavery, to becoming independent men and women in doing for ourselves. So that book is a book that really helps in today's climate of how do we make America great. I'm not just talking political comments in this sense. This is really a very important piece. See, America needs to get back to its greatness, which is in its diversity of people contributing. And any time America continues to not appreciate the diversity of contributions that are making this country truly great, then when people start pulling back, then of course we have a collapse. And that collapse doesn't necessarily have to be a Wall Street financial collapse. It would just be a collapse in trust, where everybody is not trusting nobody. So that means it's a simmering anger in everybody's existence. And you look around and everybody's not smiling. You look around and everybody's like mean mugging. You look around and everybody's like, got ready to knife a stick in their hand, or maybe just in the mind, their mind. They are really strung out on the what do you call it, the anger that, or the lack of trust that the society puts on people because of the leadership not being really aware of how to build up inertia to keep a community or family together. You imagine this. Okay, I'm a family man, and I have grown children, and I know that a lot of times there's conflicts in the families. So a good family father would listen to each child and look for a resolution that keeps the peace between the family. Now, we look at this society, it's the same dynamics, and it's something that you and me have to be peacemakers, because it says, blessed are those peacemakers, right? For they shall, no, that's a humble, but it's the same though. See, the peacemakers are the one that brings trust between the anger of those who have been bitten by the devil, or the subliminal or the subconscious messages that this person is trying to hurt me. See, sometimes your mind will tell you stuff that's not true. And if you listen to it and people are telling you the same thing, so pretty soon you get in a blind rage, and all you're doing is looking for conflicts, looking for conflicts, conflicts, conflicts. But if you're looking for opportunity and you got a frame of mind that's looking for conflicts, opportunities cannot fill that void, because you can only at that point think about either success or failure, or success and no success, right? So I would suggest anger is good if you use it properly, and if you don't, you're going to mess your life up. Now, I'm saying that this, when I play professional sports, when I went up to the baseball, when I played baseball, high school and little league, high school and professional, and I didn't develop this attitude until later, but after I graduated from Babe Ruth High School, I mean Babe Ruth, 15-year-old, went to high school, I started with a different attitude of playing baseball because it got more competitive. It's like being in a fight, really. Athletics have that ability, or that perception, or the reality that it's like a fight in basketball, it's a fight in baseball, it's a fight in football, same thing. So for baseball, as I came to the plate, I'd look at the pitcher, I'd make an assessment, look in his eyes, see how he's looking, how he's thinking, and I get in the batter's box, and then I point my bat right at him, and I say with an attitude to myself, bring it. Bring it, all right? Now, when I said bring it, I had some other words, too, behind it, because I imagine this. If you're fighting, and you're fighting for your life, and you have to get somebody off of you, are you saying, like, please stop, please stop? Or are you saying something really, really different, right, that's making the fear come out of this person, excuse me, making the fear leave you and making the fear go inside that person? So you must be saying something pretty powerful when you you're in a fight. You got to say something powerful. Like, you know, I'm not going to use words, but, you know, you say it like you look at them and you just kind of say something like, so that's not nice. So you got to have that same ability in terms of using your anger for achievement. So I want you to keep that in mind. Now, I was thinking about something that I wrote this morning, and it's called a signature success. Signature success, this book I'm writing. I'm going to share this with you. So signature success is the life and times of Dr. Haleem Mustafa, that's me, and a.k.a. Haleem the Dream Builder. Now, signature is very, very critical in terms of, you know, it's something that will stand out as something that's unique. So I said, well, let me write a book called Signature Success. So I want to mail it to myself. Copyright, self-copyright protection, right, for publication. And then I took that word signature and I made an acronym. And this is, which will be for me, something that I can use to tell my life in a way that is past, present, and future. So, and I won't go to the example of that here, but I'll just kind of go what we have. Signature success. It stands for social independence, to be free, to be me globally and nationally, accomplishing and teaching unity, responsibility, and excellence of character. Because in the bottom line of everything you do, your character is going to be the thing that people are going to remember most. So if they remember you as a character that smiles, that's pleasant for them. If they remember you as a character that frowns, that's like, uh-oh, stay away from him. So, you know, you have to, in your life journey, never get so frustrated that you lose your smile, right? And again, you could, like Muhammad Ali, he could whip you up with some knuckles and still smile. And factually, the best fight that you can ever have is whipping somebody up, and they don't even know they're getting whooped up, because you're not frowning. You're not, you know, you're just being really calm and cool and just like methodical. Let's see, who does it methodically? Okay, I know a good fighter that does it methodically. What's his name? Floyd Mayweather. He's a really, really smart, quick-witted, twitch fighter. And there's others that have that ability, but he is like one of the quicker ones that I've seen, right? And of course, you have Pacquiao, but he's a smaller kind of guy. But Floyd Mayweather is that kind of guy that get real close to you and twitch around your punches and whoop you up and be smiling while you're doing it, right? That's a dangerous guy. So, okay, here we go. So let's go back to the subject for a second, because I think it's very critical that we understand that in your life, you are not going to always have it easy. And if you get to the point where you get so spoiled before you step out on the life of being grown, you know, and on your own, you think that people owe you something. So you actually go out there with this attitude of expecting people to bow down because you were spoiled at home and mommy and daddy bowed down and family bowed down because you were like a family role model or athlete or, you know, someone that they spoil because of what you had potential to become. So in this life, as you grow up, you don't want to go out there with that disposition. I would best advise you to utilize the method of making friends, and making friends, you then can show your friends what kind of person you are by being responsive to either problems that they might have within you, and vice versa, right? Because as friends, you really want to be a two-way street, especially as you start going in business. So you don't want to, I don't think it's good to go in business with somebody you don't trust. You know, now if you go in business with somebody you don't trust, and I had it before one time. I had this guy that I was in business with, and we traveled around the world in London and Amsterdam Switzerland and Germany, all that stuff. And this guy was very smart in business, but he was really too slick. It's too slick, man. And I didn't really know he was that slick, but he was like from Chicago, Al Capone area. And his brother was, I guess, a gangster. And so he had this gangster smooth behavior. And so he was really dressed sharp all the time, three-piece suits, clean shoes and clean, haircut and looking clean. And then, you know, at one point he started acting like desperate because some of the things weren't working. And then he started coming unglued, and I started to see him, the true him, right? And so, you know, he's like educated from a university in California. And so one day we were in the office, he and I, on the 12th floor where we had an office at, and he started cursing. I said, "Why are you cursing so much?" He said, "I'm trying to be black." I said, "Whoa," to myself. I said, "You know, that really offends me, man." I says, "You're trying to be black, and you got an education, and you dress in all this fine stuff. You got ability to go anywhere, and you know, you're the banker at one point, so you got all these skills and stuff, and now you're cursing." And myself, me, I come from ghetto, and I'm looking to get out of the curse behavior, and you're actually cursing. I'm offended by it. And he told me something more. He said that he goes to the barber, the black barber. His hair is so low he can go anywhere and get it cut. But he said he goes to the black barbers because he want to, you know, be black, curse because he want to be black. And so at this point, after he shared his thoughts with me, I said, "Well, brother, listen, I appreciate the opportunity." And so I gave my letter of resignation. Now the next day, after I gave him a letter of resignation, the FBI came knocking on my door after going to the police department where I worked and finding out where I was. And they knocked on my door, and they said, "Hi, you know this person?" I said, yeah. I said, I used to work with him. I resigned like 2 days ago, and I showed them the letter. And the letter told exactly what I said. Now, what I found out, the brother stole about, about $50,000 from a bank account that he had got desperate on. And so I didn't know he was that kind of guy. And this was mafia money. So I'm glad I flew the coop. But I didn't get angry at him. I got discerned. I started being really concerned. A lot of times if you get angry, you might get angry too soon, and this is what you're going to do. So just be wise as a young person. And trust everybody, but verify, right? Trust and verify. I think Reagan knows that, or maybe some other people too, but for sure Ronald Reagan said about the Soviet Union, he says, trust and verify. The Soviets are liars. Trust and verify. Well, I can flip that right now. Black folks in America better trust and verify white Americans' sincerity, because I know that there is right now a big big economic divide between black and white wealth. And I don't see any way of it closing until black people start thinking about independent living. But we have people who come to the black community with all these schemes and these plans of how to make a big killing by, you know, network marketing or some other kind of things that they use to take money out of our communities through pyramid schemes, right? Now, sometimes, you know, it might work at some points, but in a general sense, it really doesn't in that sense, because Bernie Madoff, that's his last name, but Bernie Madoff with about $50 billion, I think it was $50 billion, something like that. And so the idea is that black people need to be very discerning about who they trust. Now, what I think we should do, black people, is that we should learn to come together and work in unison on things that we know we need to do. For example, we need to figure out how to take control of our communities. We need to figure out how it is that we can contribute to the education of our children, how we can contribute to the well-being of the citizens in town, and figure out how it is that we can stop women from acting crazy out here. No, hey, men act crazy too, though. Let me say that. But no, my wife was doing a little dance. That wasn't intense like that. But anyway, so life is fun. It really is fun. And I'm going to say this because I'm really happy for a lot of reasons. Thanksgiving is coming in a few days. And this is the first Thanksgiving that I'm sharing with my family in 5 years. So 4 of those years I was homeless from 2012 up until 2016. And for the last year, you know, after that point, I was like transitioning out of homeless, and I almost died in all kind of situation there. And so I wasn't really stable, had no income. Now those things have gone by. I have an income. I have an SSI going. My wife is happy. My family's happy. Everybody says Papa is back, and I am back. And you know, so this is going to be the first Thanksgiving for me in 5 years. It's a very emotional one, so I'm looking to enjoy it and show my family that I finally learned how to be a father. I'm serious, because before I was so busy outside from my family that my family wanted to leave me. They said, "Daddy, shoot, you're not here. What you been here? You're never here." So there's a balance that we have to have between, you know, success in terms of our pursuit of things and the family that we love, right? Because you know you may can have both of them, but you got to give time to both of them. You know, I'd be honest with you, coming from poverty welfare, I really had a lot of motivation, inspiration to be a tremendous success despite the odds, you know. And I can say this, that I think as a result of what I've been through in my lifetime, coming up on 63 December of this year, I have the ingredients where everything is working now. I know exactly how to work it now. I know the temperament. I know the tolerance. I know the way to treat people with kindness. I know how to not let people get in my head with what they have as anger. And I know how not to let them get in my head when they do things to be disrespectful. So in this, what I'm learning, I'm saying that black people as a collective group, we need to learn to have that kind of discernment and not getting upset at people, I must say white people, for their normal nature, which is to suppress those who don't look like them, because it is for them a law of survival, and we understand, right? And so we have to take that in consideration, and then we have to do things to prevent them from acting the ugly side of their nature. right? So since we know that there's a tendency to not be fair and to not be honest and not be trustworthy in the things that they say they're going to do, and many, many people can tell you all kind of ways in which they reneged on the deals. And I just simply go to what the Indians said. They said, white man speak with forked tongue. Now, I think that was the simplest example of what, you know, we have to be aware of. Now, everybody lies, right? Nah, not everybody. Some people don't lie at all. They might fudge the truth a little bit. But, you know, there's really, you really want to, you know, you want to have a level of integrity. If you don't want to say something, just say, I Fifth Amendment, or I pass. Fifth Amendment. That's not saying you're going to tell a lie or truth. You're saying that I take the fifth. That means it's my constitutional right to just not say anything. So if you ask me today, how do I feel about President Trump? I'm going to say, I take the fifth. I'm going to say, how do you feel? What are you going to say? But I take the fifth, because I think that we don't need to talk about people in that sense. What we need to do is outwork people and show them the value of working. And working in a way you can bring benefit to other people just by being yourself. Now, I'm going to say this. Dr. Booker T. Washington and Dr. George Washington Carver, right out of the era of, you know, close to, like, you know, slavery itself ending, and people in terms of coming into a new mindset, in terms of being industrious, they had to use a level of work ethic that, you know, that worked and with people regardless of color. Even though the times were really, really temperamental, where blacks were getting hung, and, you know, and it was like really a serious dilemma. But, you know, black people, we had to have a level of courage where we didn't bow down. We didn't knuckle under. We didn't run away. We stood as men of faith, as women of faith, and let it be known, right, that, listen, I have to feed my family. You got to feed your family. Let's make a mutual alliance that we not violate each other this, because I guarantee you, a person who's serious about their family, they will go all the way, and if it means going to jail, they will go all the way, because nothing's more important than family. And I guess that's a good point to say in terms of anger. If someone hurt my family, it's like, I know that I probably would do something in revenge. I would. And but I ask God to please protect and forgive me, because, you know, the thing is, some people set themselves up in their karma, of behavior that has caused the things they do to be just. Justice in the name of God takes people and lets them experience bad things because of the karma that they've done over the years. So some people says, I never did anything wrong. But they have done things wrong to people. They bullied people. They took their money. Their whatever they grew up with. They grew up with this reputation as a person that's not trustworthy. But, you know, what I'm saying is that we have to know that when we get down to it, it might be a time that we ourselves may have to do something that is integrity challenged, all right? Like, for example, if I ask you a question, would you ever eat out of a garbage can? And what would you say? Most people say no, right? Fine. Now, under circumstances, if you were, like, homeless and you didn't have food, would you eat out the garbage can? That's another question. And some people say, yes, I would. Somebody says, no, I'll never eat out garbage can. But I tell people, I said, never, ever say never, because you never know the circumstances for yourself tomorrow. Today you might have it going on, but tomorrow it could be a different thing, you know? you could get like hit by a car. That's just, you know, extreme. Or you can have, for example, you can walk and have a back spasm and break your spine or break your leg. See, there's so much that we have to be thankful for, is that we have to be walking and praying as we walk. Every step we take, we're praying. We're asking God, please forgive me, protect me. Let me see another day. Let me see the next second, the next minute. You're micro asking God for the little things, because, you know, that's what it, life is so short. It really is. It really is short. And it looks like when you're a young person that it's like it's a long, long time. And like I said, I'm 63 now, and I don't remember like 20 years of my life. I don't remember 20 years of my life, you know. And I, you know, just like it's a strange thing. So all I'm saying to you all is that anger, use it for motivation, if you will, inspiration, if you can, and don't use it to be a bully, to hate people. Use it to protect people, like, right? If you need to, right? Moses used it to protect one of his Egyptian stepbrothers, whom Moses was Hebrew, and the Egyptian that was beating up one of the Hebrew family members of Moses, as it said in the movie of the Ten Commandments of Moses. And so Moses hit and broke, killed a guy who was like Egyptian. Now, he did it out of protecting one who turned out to be a troublemaker. And so after the first time, he protected by killing the guy. So he didn't. He just hit him so hard he didn't kill him. And then the second time, the same guy that was a little troublemaker from the neighborhood did something else again, and Moses came upon the Egyptian who was apprehended the guy for a certain thing he did, and the guy told Moses, "Are you just want to be a bully, or are you going to be fair in justice here?" Right? Now, I think that's critical today, especially because the idea of fairness in this country, America, is really a question to me. It's really a question to me because I don't really understand how we are taking away the land from people who, you know, have maybe one mortgage payment due, or, you know, one little delay in car payment or whatever, and we have no compassion no longer country when it comes to taking people and making them poverty stricken again. And so we have to realize that this whole idea of gentrification, no matter what you say about it, in my mind is thievery of a very very sophisticated type. It's very sophisticated because it's actually gives you an impression that it's all about renewing, and they're talking about renewing the community without you. So renewing the community, getting rid of you, out of sight, out of mind, and they feel okay at that point, because when they look, wake up in the morning, they don't see no black faces, and they say, "Well, where the black people are?" They say, "I think they went back to Africa. I hope they did," right? Now, okay, I don't mind going back to Africa, but Africa doesn't want us either, black people. So that means that we got to do something here for ourselves to solidify our existence here in America, where God brought us to. Well, God brought us here? Well, no, the slave ships brought us here. But I know that everything happened under God's dominion for a reason and a purpose. So I accept that. Thank you, God, for bringing us here. Now, what we got to do is say again, thank you, God, for freeing us, right, from the horrible crimes of slavery or the treatment of slavery. Then we got to say, thank you, God, for waking us up and giving us our mind, God. And then we got to do some more thanking God for the people that came in the Freedom Line. And you know who they are. You know, like Frederick Douglass. You know, like Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, like Carter G. Woodson. You know, like Booker T. Washington, Dr. Carver. You know about a lot of the historical people, right? But so we're thanking God for the challenge to prove to those people who hated us for no other reason than we were had melanin in our skin, and that we come from royalty, and they took us down from royalty to erase our brains to never know that we come from kings and queens. I mean, this is really serious. I know for sure that that in the slave trades, they would take royal blood lines from Africa, Africans or Kibulon or, you know, Kemet, other than their name Africanus for Africa, which is the name of explorer, white explorer. But the point I want to make here is that we were erased from the greatness that we had in our psyche. See, we had in our psyche inbred self-confidence building, power of generating power through our third eye mechanism to tap into the universal knowledge and energy and vision to see our way through any situation. So the idea of taking it from that connection where we as Africans or whatever we call ourselves, we got to call ourselves something different. How about light beings? Light beings, right? We as light beings on the planet, on planet Earth, who are in the area of the equator that's close, you know, to the area that gets really hot, is that we were taken away and erased our memory so that we don't even know how to get our way back home. And so today, we're all confused, not me, but a lot of black people is confused. So they're thinking that, you know, that they actually have to be submissive to other people because of their having a dominant perception or a dominant attitude. That's right. The other side has a dominant attitude to everything that comes from black is no good. And blacks say, well, that's true because everything that I see on TV is white. So that means everything that's white is good and everything that black is bad. And that becomes a psychological impact onto our psychological thinking, which transforms to our children's perception as they look at TV and they look at the community and they don't see anything African, black, colorized making any progress. And they say, well, gee, father, mother, I'm not going to be black either. I'm going to go be white. I'm going to go to Harvard, Yale, and Stanford. Or I'm going to go to some other school and just indulge myself in the whole white culture, and I'll never come back again. This is real. A lot of our people do this, and they never reculturalize back into the ghetto or the community. Now, I'm going to say this one. I think it's important. The ghetto is very close. Passing by. 4 minutes. Time was beautiful. I enjoyed this here. Okay, listen, this is the deal. This show sponsored, Life Success Radio, sponsored by Reality Books, the publisher of Booker T. Washington, Dr. Booker T. Washington, no. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And so that book, certainly, you should actually make an effort to purchase a couple, few. Commercials should follow this one. And I think that book will definitely give you some historical perspectives and a lot of things that would talk about freedom, justice, and equality in working together as black and white people and not letting the difference of our skin color stop us from having friends during the time that we had to struggle together, okay? So it's right now about, I got like 4 or 5 minutes here, but I want to say this. My name is Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, and pretty soon we'll have our own Life Success Radio independently away from our sponsor, whom has been so gracious But you know, every moment, sometimes in life, you have to get the wings to a flight to see test your wings, see if you can make it to the next level. So I'm very confident that we have a plan of action to make Life Success Radio a phenomenal success. And so when we get our new show going, certainly I'll make it be available through Booker T. Washington Speaks to put, you know, just kind of let you know that we're still in the mix. But it's sometimes important that we teach our young people that they got to jump off the nest and get their own wings and see if they can swim and fly. And that's what we're going to do right now soon here with Life Success Radio and having our own radio blog, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So have patience and say prayers for us. So what I will say is this last comment, and I use this time and time again, and it really feels good to share this song that I wrote. And I wrote it when I really was very much a novelist trying to write songs. But this came from inspiration, and this is what it came as in, I think, 1981. Yes. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I turned to heaven. I prayed. The Creator opened up the door. The first thing He did was to make me strong. And now I know that I belong on earth, so I can give a little more. That's why He opened up the door. It's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We have to save our children. We have to save our children. So take the time to train your mind to see the signs. Don't ignore them. Our God is one. Your Lord God is one. Not three in one, but one, the power of one. Assalamu alaikum. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you.